This morning and next week, I've enlisted some help, and so a little bit later we'll have Braden's going to come up and help me today, but that'll be a little bit later in the message. Next week we have some more, others too. But today is congregation participation, okay? Do this. You understand what I'm talking about, okay? So when I ask certain questions, you'll see what's getting in here. I want you to be able to respond to me. Participation, okay? So that's what we're going to do today and do that. The title of the message, as you see, is called the Roman Road. So the title of the message, Walking the Roman Road. And we all are on a road. We're on a life's journey is on a road. We drive, we take different roads, and we know different roads. And so we're going to look at one called the Roman Road today. As I was preparing this, I got to thinking about a story that I heard about a man who was riding down a road. It's kind of a lonely road, not a whole lot around it, not much traffic or anything like that. And on that road, as he was driving, a rabbit ran out in front of him. And he wanted to swerve to miss it, but it was too late. And so he looked in his rearview mirror and he saw the rabbit laying dead on the road. So he pulled his car off and he got outside, out of the car, and he just went over there and he was just beside himself. It really shook him. And he didn't know what to do. He couldn't pull himself together. And about that time, another car pulled up, saw him standing there, thought maybe he had car trouble on this desolate area of the road. So he stopped and got out, and it just happened to be a cosmetic salesman. And he went over and said, "Sir, what happened? What's the matter?" He said, "Do you have car trouble?" He said, "No, I just ran over this rabbit." And he said, and I'm just beside myself. I just don't know what to do about it. He said, I've tried. I wanted to miss him, but I couldn't. And the guy said, "Well, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it." And the guy goes over to his car, opens the trunk, grabs a can, just an aerosol can, walks over to the rabbit, bends over, sprays it on the rabbit, and that rabbit jumps up to life and takes off running. He runs about 10 feet, stops, turns around, hops about 10 feet, and waves. And he hops about 10 more feet, and he turns around and he waves, and he runs another 10 feet. Every 10 feet, he stops and he waves. And the driver that ran over just scratches his head. He said, "Sir, what happened? What did you just do? That rabbit was dead." He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I'm a cosmetic salesman, and one of the things that we sell is hairspray." And he held up the can. I think we've got a picture of the can he held up, don't we? Yeah, there it is, hairspray. Restores life to dead hair and adds a permanent wave. Well, we're not on that road, and we can't get life out of a can. God is the only giver of life. And so we want to turn to God for life. When I see, y'all didn't know where that was coming from, did you? But I want us today, no one knows where life's journey is going to take us. No one knows who will be saved or when we will be, those people will be saved. Our responsibility as Christians, as believers, our responsibility is to be obedient and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And this is an area where I'm afraid that as believers, we fall short in society today. In fact, some of you probably cringed as soon as I said the words about obedience and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we pull away from that for whatever reason. But I want today to help you to understand not only our responsibility is to share Christ, but I also want us to understand today as to how to overcome the fears. And we talked about the three fears that we faced last week in our message on commission to share. And we answered the five questions of who is commissioned and why we're commissioned, how are we commissioned, and what are we commissioned to do, and where. And so I want us to overcome those fears that we face today, and as we are instructed to share the gospel through Scripture. Now, there's not only one way, one specific way to share the gospel. And in fact, there are many. And I believe that all Christians need to understand that and have not even Jesus used one particular way. His approach always depended on the circumstance in front of him, the people, what they were going through, what was going on in front of him. And I believe that each one of us as believers should have several ways at our disposal to share with an unbeliever about the gospel of Jesus Christ. First, you have your story. We're going to hear about that. We're going to hear some of your testimonies from people next week. I've already enlisted them, so don't get scared. But One of the simplest and easiest ways, everyone needs to have at least one, but one of the simplest and easiest ways to share your story, but another that I believe is easily, it's just to let Scripture speak. And that's what I'm going to show you today. I'll show you how Scripture actually speaks. And if you'll just follow these few passages today, all in the book of Romans, we'll not get outside the book of Romans, we'll stay there, and we'll be able to see how God's Word, His Scripture, speaks to how we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what I do in sharing this method called the Roman Road is I always let God's Word do the talking. You know why? God's Word's a whole lot better than my Word. And it's a whole lot more faithful, and it's to the point, it's direct, it's to the point, and it helps us all, anyone, in any situation. So we're going to look at the Roman Road. Now today, I was telling Kevin, I read Scripture up here, I usually read from one of the pew Bibles, but today, in particular, because I brought this Bible, and you can see it's pretty old. This was my dad's Bible. My dad passed away when I was 32, it's been about 34 years ago, something like that now, or I was 31, I guess. This is his Bible. He's got some markings in it, some different things. And in fact, the first passage we're going to be in today, he's got it there, and he's got red underlined. All these passages we're going to be doing today, we're going to be looking at, he's red underlined and put brackets around them. So I encourage you today to use your Bible. Follow me in your Bible and underline these passages in your Bible. Some people say, I don't want to do that. I want to mess up God's Word. You're not messing up God's Word. You're highlighting it so that you can see it and catch it quicker. When you open that page to that, Romans 3:23 is the first scripture we're going to look at if you want to turn there. When you open Dad's Bible to that and to that page, that's the only thing that's underlined or highlighted in there. So he's got it red underlined. He did it intentionally in red, I believe. And he did this as a deacon when he was a deacon at the church where he served. And the deacons learned this. And so they just underline it and highlight. So I encourage you to do that today with these verses. So when you open your Bible to that page, you can see it. Because I want you to learn today how easy, how simple it is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Romans 3:23 is the first verse. This is what it says. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now when I use the Roman Road to share with someone, I let these verses ask the questions. I mean, I just pull the question right out of their verse. So for this verse, remember congregation participation, right? Do this again. Okay, I'll make sure you're still with me. Congregation participation. In this verse, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," the first question I always ask is, now who does that verse say has sinned?
All.
All. Thank you. That's a good response for the first time that most of you caught it. All. Does that mean you and me? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? So all, it says that all have sinned. Everyone have sinned, including you and me. Now, I want us to look over just a couple pages over in your Bible at chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And when I'm sitting, I usually have that person read the Bible, read these scripture passages when I'm sitting, especially if I'm sitting in their home, I want them to read it. I even have them use their Bible because I've got this memorized. 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so here I'll use something like sin's costly. Whoops. Don't shoot at me. I don't know what that is. But sin is costly. But what does this verse say sin costs you and me? It's getting weaker now. Come on, this is just the second one. In this verse, what does it say? Sin, your sin and my sin, what does it cost us?
Death.
It's death. The wages of sin is death. But you know, this verse also says, it goes on to say that not only is there death there, their second part says that God has a gift for you. A gift is something you can't earn. It's given to you. It's free. And so it says God has a gift for you. What is that gift? Eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord, or Christ Jesus our Lord, however you read that. And so I might go on and explain this. You know, what that means is Jesus came, he lived a sinless life, but he died for your sins and for my sins. And so God has given you and I this free gift of eternal life and the offering. But we have to see some other verses first to see what we're doing, because according to these verses, we see what God has. He's provided a gift to help us to avoid that death. And that death is talking about separation from God for all eternity. But let's look at another verse. Let's turn back a page to Romans 5, verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8. Because this verse says, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So according to this verse, when does God love you? Always, even when you were in your sin, before you called on His name, right? Always, God loved you while you were even living in sin. That's why He had Jesus pay for your sin through His own death. Now let's look over at a couple more verses in chapter 10. We'll stay in chapter 10 now. Chapter 10, let's look at and see how this works, that God loved us so much that while we were still sinners, He sent His Son to die for us. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 are our next two verses, and I'll ask the person to read that. And then I'll say, if they read it, they read it this way, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Now, this verse says that once you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that He died for you, and you confess this with your mouth, it says, this verse says that you will be saved. Is that the way you read it? Do this. Okay. That's the way it's read. That's the way it's written there. You will be saved. But notice that it doesn't say that just reading the words will grant you eternal life. Because reading those verses, it doesn't say this is, for if you're with your heart you believe and are justified, that comes first. And it is with your mouth that you confess. So anybody can say the words, say, I believe. Even Satan believes in Jesus Christ, but he doesn't trust in Jesus Christ. It says in those verses, first verse 10 says, it is with your heart. The heart comes first. It is with your heart, and for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Not until you believe with your heart that Jesus Christ came and He died for your sins. And then you confess it with your mouth. So saying the words doesn't do it. We must be justified by our belief in our heart first. It does not say that we're justified or acceptable only when we first believe. Only when we first believe in our hearts and then confess are we saved. Now there's one more verse I want us to read this morning, and that's just down three verses down. It's verse 13. Romans 10, verse 13. And that verse, and I asked the person to read that, and that verse says, for all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, does that mean hey, Jesus, I want to be saved. Does that mean I'm saved? No, because we just read 10 and 9 and 10, right? That said, first, you must believe in your heart or with your heart. It must come from the deepest part of you, of your being. But who does this verse say can receive eternal life? Who does this verse say? What is it?
Everyone.
That's that same word that was back in 3:23, right? It's all, everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord because they've believed in their heart. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord who has believed in their heart will be saved is what it's saying there. Now let me recap for us what we've just read. We're all sinners, right? That's what 3:23 said. We are all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all done something to displease God. And that's what sin is. It's anything that displeases God. And so we've all displeased God. And then we know that sin is going against God's desire and His will for us. So the penalty of our sin was what did we say?
Death.
Thank you. Very good. Appreciate that. Love the little ones when they share, when they come up with us. It's death. But God has also given us a free gift of eternal life. And He loved us so much that while we were still living in that sin, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And then we looked at chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, where it says that when we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He died for our sins, and we take that into our heart, and then we confess that to God, that then it says we will be saved. The gift from God, as I mentioned a while ago, like any gift, it's a free gift. But if you never open that gift, take it into your own possession, it's just a box sitting on a shelf that's wrapped up. It's just a box that you've left somewhere. And so we must take that into our heart to be ours, our gift from God. We do this by believing in our heart, confessing with our mouth, and even knowing that our failures, we desire to receive Christ, knowing that we're not going to be perfect after we receive Christ. We're going to surrender our lives to Him. We're going to turn it over to Him and live as best we can for Christ. After I recap, briefly recap, may not go into as much detail there as I did with you, but after I recap with him, then I say, I have one more question to ask you today. Are you ready to make that commitment today? Are you ready to accept Christ, to receive that into, deep into your heart, to believe that He is Jesus Christ, His personal Lord and Savior? Are you ready to surrender your life and confess to God that you want to surrender your life to Him? And if they say yes, then I ask them if I can lead them in a prayer. And I always let them know. Now, there's nothing magical about this prayer. There's nothing magical about the words. There's nothing. These are not even words that come from the Bible. They're words that I've just going to share, and I'm going to say a phrase, and I want you to share it behind me. And then we'll go through that prayer. Now, if he or she doesn't, say that, no, I'm not quite ready yet. I may talk to them a little bit more, reiterate, ask them what parts of it, what's holding you back, and then I will still lead them in a prayer. It may not be the same prayer, but I'll lead them in a prayer for the opening of their eyes and their heart to God. And I've used this very form of evangelism many times and have led some to Christ. Have they all? No. But that's not mine. Mine is to be obedient and to share. They read the scripture. They answer the question that comes straight out of the scripture. Every one of those questions comes straight out of whatever verse I was just reading when I asked them those questions. And so they read the scripture. They answer the questions. It's all on what they're doing. They make the decision. They make the decision to follow or not to follow Christ. I've been obedient and done what I've been called to do. And you do not have to have this memorized. In fact, I'm going to show you in a few minutes why I've got Dad's Bible with me. And a way to do this that you can have it until you do memorize. And it's really not that difficult to memorize, but to do that and just let Scripture speak. Let Scripture tell you what questions to ask. And you're going to see that here in just a moment. But you don't have to have it memorized. I let the Scriptures tell me what to say, tell me what questions to ask. And now, granted, I've had years of experience using this and other ways to share the gospel. And I've overcome some of the fears, those common fears that we talked about last week, fear of rejection, fear of ridicule, fear of not knowing what to say. Because God's answered, Jesus has answered all of those questions, all those fears. He said, those fears are no longer existent. They don't need to exist in your life. And yet I will confess to you today, I still don't do this as often as I should. I know that I've left opportunities on the table when I should share. You see, it's not necessarily the theological part of sharing that frightens us from sharing the gospel. Rather, it is most often a fear of relational tension, those three fears that I mentioned and that we talked about last week. It's those fears, that fear of relational tensions that keep us from sharing the gospel with others. I want you to see just how easy, just how simple. Braden, would you come up? I'm going to ask Braden to help me today, and he's going to come up. We're going to sit in Braden's living room, so let me move this out of the way. I have to work on that one because I hadn't been doing that in the past. So if you have a seat over there, and I'll sit right here. It's tight. All right, is it still on? Okay, good. All right. Well, Braden, thanks for having me in your house today. Appreciate that for coming on. Let me come over and talk with you and share with you today. And you've got a nice place. I see a drum set. Do you play drums?
No.
That's one of your brothers. Okay. That's good. Well, hey, you can sell it on Facebook, you know. They've got a good. But I'm going to have casual talk to start off. I'm going to have casual talk, just talk with that person and just make them feel it's their home, make them feel at home if I'm in their home or wherever I'm at. I've done it on airplanes before. I've done it in my office or other offices. And so you can share it anywhere, but if I'm in his home, wherever I'm going to have some casual conversation first, then we'll say, well, you know, Braden, I'm glad to see that you got your Bible there. I want to just talk to you about some scripture, some of the stuff that we've been talking about at church and stuff, and just ask you if you would. But I want to ask you if you would read these verses out of your Bible so that you say, when I leave, you still got those here. That's not just in my Bible, yours too. So if you would, you know where Romans is. Will you find the book of Romans? And we're going to look at first at chapter 3, verse 23. Now, if they're not sure, I'll find Romans for them, open the Bible, and hand it back to them so that they'll have that Bible in their hand. And all they're doing then is just turning three or four pages either way for that. Would you read that first scripture for us, Braden, there, chapter 3, verse 23?
For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Thank you. That's good. Now, who does that say has sinned?
Everyone.
Everyone. Does that include you and me?
Yes.
It does, doesn't it? Okay. Well, you know, if you'll just turn over just a couple more pages to chapter 6, 23. We know that sin, chapter 6 and verse 23, we know that sin is anything that displeases God. And we've all, it just said that. You just showed me that it says that we've all sinned. So what does chapter 6, verse 23 say?
For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Okay, and we talked about that first verse showed us that we've all sinned, we're all sinners. And what does that verse say, the first part of that verse say that the wages or the penalty of sin is?
It's death.
Death, it does. So that includes us. We said that all have sinned, so that includes us. But you know, the second part of that is kind of a redeeming verse there because it says, but, which means that the penalty of sin is death, but God has given us a free gift. What was that free gift that it says in there that God gave us?
Eternal life.
Eternal life, absolutely. There, good. So thank you for that. Well, how does that work? Let's look back, just turn back a page if you need to, but chapter 5 is where we're going, and then verse 8.
But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
All right. So God showed his love for us. That while we were still sinners, while we were still living apart from God, separated from God, sin is anything that displeases God. It says that even then, he sent his son to die for our sins. I think that's remarkable, don't you? I mean, it just shows how big a God we've got, that he would send his own son to do that, to die for us. Let's look over at chapter 10, and we're going to look at two verses there. We'll end up looking at three, but verses 9 and 10 of Romans chapter 10. What does that say, 9 and 10?
Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is our Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved.
All right, thank you. So with that one, it says that we believe with our heart. Of course, we know that's, you know, where we believe the inner part of the body, of the being, of our complete being, our heart, mind, and soul, and physical body too, is the heart. And so it says there that if we believe with our heart that we can be justified, God's redemption of sin has taken us away from that, from sin, and given us that eternal life, that free gift that he talked about. What does that second part say? If we believe in our heart and what? Confess. Okay, confess. It says confess with our mouth, right? So if we believe in our heart and then we confess with our mouth that Christ is Lord, what does it say will happen?
We will be saved.
We'll be saved, okay? And verse 13 is the last verse I'll have you read. If you'll read verse 13 of chapter 10, what does that say?
For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
All right, good. Now, does that mean just as for all who call on the Lord, I can say, Jesus, I want to be saved and I'm saved? Is that what that means?
No.
It doesn't, does it? Because we just read in verses 9 and 10 that it says, first you must believe in your heart that Jesus died for my sins, and then God raised him from the dead but left my sins buried. And then it says, if we do that, then we call on the name of the Lord, we will be saved. Let me recap with you what we just talked about there. Thank you for reading those, by the way. The first verse we read said that we're all sinners, and we said that includes you and me. And then the second verse said, because we're sinners, Romans 6:23 said, because we're sinners, that we deserve to die, complete separation from God for all eternity. But a second part of that verse said that God gave us the free gift of eternal life, the offer of a free gift of eternal life. And then we learned that he actually did that while we were still living in sin. He loved us that much. And then we looked at verses 9 and 10 in chapter 10 where it said that if we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he was raised from the dead for our sins, that we will be saved. And then verse 13 again said, if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Is that what we read, what we talked about?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Good. Well, I've got one other question for you today, Braden. Is that a decision that you're willing to make today, to follow Jesus Christ and trust him?
Yes.
Oh, that's good. Well, can I lead you in a prayer? I want to lead you in a prayer, and I'll say part of the prayer, and then you just say right behind, just repeat what I say. Okay, there's nothing magical about these words, but this is what, hopefully what your heart is saying today. Okay, let's pray. Father God.
Father God.
I know that I am a sinner.
I know that I am a sinner.
And I know that you sent your son, Jesus Christ.
And I know that you sent your son, Jesus Christ.
To die for my sins.
To die for my sins.
To raise again to new life.
To raise again to new life.
Leaving my sins buried.
Leaving my sins buried.
And that you loved me while I was still a sinner.
And that you loved me while I was still a sinner.
God, today I believe in my heart.
God, today I believe in my heart.
That Jesus Christ.
That Jesus Christ.
Is your son.
Is your son.
Sent to die for me.
Sent to die for me.
And to give me an opportunity.
And to give me an opportunity.
For eternal life.
For eternal life.
In heaven.
In heaven.
Today, I surrender my life.
Today, I surrender my life.
To Jesus Christ.
To Jesus Christ.
And I want to live for him.
And I want to live for him.
In whatever way you desire.
In whatever way you desire.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Braden, that's the greatest decision you could ever make in your life, and I thank you for letting me be a part of that today and that God used me to be here today. Who's the first person you want to tell about Jesus Christ and what just happened?
Some people at work.
All right, good deal. All right, thank you, Braden. Appreciate that very much. I threw him with a couple of those questions he didn't know they were coming. So, which he didn't know any of the questions were coming, but a couple of them weren't actually in Scripture. So thank you for that. Good job, and appreciate that. Appreciate his willingness to be able to do that today. You know, it's not easy to get up here and stand away. Mickey makes it look easy. I don't know how, but Mickey makes it look easy to stand up here. But it's not that easy, especially when you're not used to being up here in front of people, to stand up here and to do that and to interact like that. So thank you so much, Braden, for your help today and doing that. Now let me show you how to use your Bible so that you can do this anywhere you're at. Anywhere where you've got your Bible, you've got somebody in your home, you're in their home, whatever, can do this. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn to the first white page in the very front of your Bible, wherever that's at. Now, my dad's got his. His starts on the index page is where he started, but you can start on any of those front pages there. Now, put your finger there and turn to Romans 3:23, okay? Keep your finger on that first page and turn to Romans 3:23. See it there? When you get that page, if you've got it bracketed and underlined like we talked about earlier, look down at the bottom or the top of the page, wherever you're at, look at the page number. What is the page number in your Bible for Romans 3:23? In this Bible, I think, it's a small print Bible, Dad, I don't know. It's 1074, mine, that's my page number. So what I want you to do is flip back to the front on that front white page and just down to the bottom put page one, whatever page yours is, don't put my Bible in there. 1074 is what I would write in mine, 1074, and Dad's got that in his. In fact, he's got start at page 1074. And then, while you're there, I want you to look over at, keep your finger on, you can, don't worry about the front of the book anymore, but look at the keep your finger there, Romans 3:23 on that page, and turn over to chapter 6, verse 23. What page is chapter 6, verse 23 on? Look at that page. On this Bible, it's 1076. So I would turn back to Romans 3:23 or 1074, and I would write to 1076. In other words, to page 1076. That's the next page I want to go to. And then when you get that done, you turn back over to 1076, and it says to go to 5:8. If it's a different page, then you look at that and say, okay, on this book, it is 1075. So then I would go back and I'd write there on where 623 is on that page. I would write to where 58 is, one page back. Then you can look at the page that 58's on. You want to keep your finger there and turn over to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. What page is that on? And put that mark down there. What page that is, put that back there on Romans 5:8. And then the last two verses should be on the same page or across from each other, so you've got it there. Now you've got the whole thing marked, the Roman road, of how to use that. So anytime you're there, if you forget where to start, just go to the very front of your Bible and it says turn to page 1074, whatever that is in your Bible. And you've got the Roman road. It's right there. You can use it. Now, like I say, when I go into someone's home, I don't carry my Bible anymore. I quit doing that, not because I'm ashamed of the Bible, but I quit carrying my Bible because I want them to read it out of their Bible. I always want them to read it rather than me read it to them. I want them to read it. But if they've got their Bible, I want them to read it out of their Bible, like I said when I was sitting here with Braden, so that he'll have it when I leave and he'll see that it was in his Bible and he can go back in those to those passages and read them again. And so I want them to know it from theirs and know that it's there. But it doesn't take long to do it. And each verse gives itself what you need. It tells you, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what's the question? Who does this verse say has sinned? Then the second one, 6:23, says, for the wages of sin is death. So that's your first question. So what does this say the penalty of sin is, the wages of sin is? It's death. It's complete separation from God. And then the second half of that says, God has given us what? A gift of eternal life. So then we've got to. So you just move that way, and it just the questions are right there. And when I go into someone's home, I want them to do that. And you can memorize it. Once you memorize it, it's just easy to do that. I didn't have to look at anything there. You don't have to go into some of the detail that I went into. If you think, oh, what am I supposed to say? If you don't anything, nothing comes to you right then, you just say, let's move on to the next verse. If you'll look at the next verse, we'll see how that works for us. That's one way. That's the Roman road, and that's just one simple way to share the gospel that any one of you in here could do, or anyone listening to my voice or watching us could share the Roman road. And I encourage you to look at that, to go back through those today, through the day, and see how they flow and how they move back and forth through there to see those verses and practice those questions. And then pray, as I'm going to pray, and ask God to give you eyes to see the opportunities that He places in front of you, that you would have one opportunity this week to perhaps share with someone, even if you have the Roman road, or even if you don't, that you can start that conversation that eventually will lead you to sharing the Roman road with that person. Who is that person that you would want, that God would have you do that with this week? And then one final scripture I want to read today, and I don't think I put this one on the slide, but it's just how I'm going to finish the sermon, is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, where it says, finally, pray for us, brothers, that the Lord's message may spread rapidly and be honored. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Stand with me as we pray, as we enter into our time of response to God. Father God, we come to you at this moment, in this time, and pray, thanking you for your word, thanking you that you've given us something like the Roman road. Just one set of scriptures that we can use. There's so many others that we could use, but Lord, just one set of scriptures we can use to share Jesus Christ and to share the gospel, to share the good news that you've given us. Father, I pray that today, that as we've learned this, that your Holy Spirit has spoken to some here to say, it's not complicated, and I will be with you in every instance. Because you've promised us that, and you showed us that you will be there with us, and you'll give us the right things to say at the very moment that we need to say it. So, Father, I pray that today that we would all take this away, walk away from here, knowing that we have what it takes. We have your word, we have your Holy Spirit living in us, and we have our call to be obedient to you by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, for someone here today who has never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. I pray that today they would walk down this aisle and talk to me or Johnny or someone else and just tell us that they want that security of knowing that they're surrendering their life totally to Jesus Christ and desiring to live for Him. And Father, there may be some here who have read those verses or other set of verses or whatever you've used to convict them, and they've even prayed a prayer like that, asking you in their heart, but they've never made a public profession of faith. And Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they would step out and step forward and say, you know what? I've done all that. I understand that, but I've not made it public. And so today, I want to make it public. For others, it may be that you've been visiting with us, but you've not made a decision, and God's been telling you. You know that God's leading you to say, this is the church where I want you to serve. This is the family that I want you to be a part of, and to serve and to be served, to learn and to grow with these believers as part of Central Baptist Church. Whatever it is that God's laying on your heart, I pray today that you would respond to Him. Doesn't matter what you're going through, God can use His word in your life to touch other people. And you come, share here, pray at the altar, share with one of us, or you just come and pray that God would help you through this coming week. And Father, I just pray that you would help us all to realize that us walking down that aisle to come and kneel and pray might be the key to someone else turning their life over to Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Move in us as only you can move in us in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. You respond as God leads you.